Let's turn to John chapter 5. Verse 24, the Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The great purpose for which God the Father sent His Son into this earth is to give life to dead sinners. To give life to dead sinners. He said in chapter 10, "I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." That's the purpose for which Christ came. I am come that they might have life. He came to give spiritual life to dead sinners. To dead sinners. About 4 or 5 years ago, somebody wrote me using this verse to prove to me man has a free will. He said, "What are you going to do with that verse?" And he said, "When a sinner hears Christ's word and believes on Christ, he passes from death to life." And he said, "So it's by our will, receiving Christ, that we're born again." Listen to the word. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with him. By grace are you saved. Our Lord said, "I am come that they might have life." Now, our Lord's declaring here that he's the Son of God, one with God the Father, equal with God the Father. That means he is God. And he's saying that as the Father has power to give life to dead sinners, he has power to give life to dead sinners. And when Christ gives life to a dead sinner, it's the Father giving life to a dead sinner. When the Father quickens a dead sinner, it's Christ quickening a dead sinner. He's declaring here he's one with the Father. Now notice how he begins this. Verse 24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now the whole word of God is Christ speaking. The whole word's Christ speaking. It's hard not to find a Bible, a King James Bible, is not a red letter Bible. But it really is. There's no red letters. The whole Bible is His word. The whole Bible is the word of our Lord. But when our Lord says, "Verily, verily," He's saying, don't miss this. He's saying, hang on this. He's saying, this right here is of paramount importance. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." He attaches his very name and his very glory to this statement. That's showing us the importance of it. It's like what he said through Isaiah. He said, when the Lord comes, he will swallow up death in victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. The rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. That's what he's saying here. I have spoken this. Verily, verily, I say unto you. That's the authority. God in human flesh is saying to us, I say unto you. Now, this word is the word we have got to hear. This is so for a dead sinner to have life. It's so for a believer who is overcome to have life. It's for him to continually speak his word to keep you in life. He's the one that must speak. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word." That's not just reading the Bible. That's not just hearing a sermon. That's not just learning doctrine. We have to hear Christ's word. Remember Samuel. Samuel laid down at night and he heard the voice of the Lord say, "Samuel." And he got up and went to Eli, and he thought Eli had called him. He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So he went and laid back down, and again he heard this voice, "Samuel." And he went back to Eli again, and Eli said, "I didn't call you, Samuel." He said, "Go lay down." He said, "The Lord's calling you." What wise counsel. What wise counsel. When we think somebody else is speaking to us, to have somebody say, "The Lord's speaking to you." And he went and laid back down. And the third time the Lord said, "Samuel." And he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That's what Paul was talking about over there in 1 Thessalonians when he said, when our word came to you, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually, powerfully worked in you and gave you life. So in our text, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," he that heareth my voice. Look over there at Ezekiel 37. We're in the valley of dry bones. That's where we live. And we are the dry bones in ourselves, in our flesh. And unless Christ speaks to us, we're just dry bones. And it's not just a one-time thing, and okay, now you have life. Yes, you do, but it's him continually speaking to us. That's leading us and turning us and teaching us and keeping us and sustaining life in us. But look what he says here in Ezekiel 37:3. He said, "Son of man," he's speaking to his preacher, but this is so of all of us, brethren. "Can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." Again he said to me, now listen to what he said to him. "Preach to these bones." My word? Just what I think? No, speak the word of the Lord to them. Speak the gospel to them. "And say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Hear the Lord speak. They're dry bones. But you say to them, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live." And when he does that, he says, "That's when you shall know that I am the Lord." I don't want to turn somebody by my word. They may turn, they may impress me, but they're not going to know the Lord. I want them to hear the Lord speak so they know the Lord. So they know the Lord. Look at verse 11. He said, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." This is all his elect. This is how he's going to work in all his people right here. "They say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're cut off for our parts." You remember how the Lord in the sower, parable of the sower, he said, if a man doesn't have root in himself, when persecution comes, he's going to wilt. He's just going to wither. What's he going to do? He's going to look at everything that's going on and say, "Oh, we're dried up, our hope's lost, we're cut off for our parts." What's going to save us from that? Every time and every stormy gale and every... What's going to save us from that? "Therefore, preach to them." What do I say? "Thus saith the Lord God." Preach my word to them. Preach my gospel to them. Remind them who I am. Remind them what I've done. Remind them of my covenant promise. Remind them of my mercy and my grace and my forgiveness for the blood of Christ's sake. Remind them of me. "Behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I'll cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When? When I've opened your graves. Oh, my people, when I've brought you up out of your grave, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Christ is declaring here, that's what he does. That's what he does. The first resurrection that we have to partake of to be brought up out of our grave is the regeneration. We have to be brought up out of that grave of our spiritual death and our spiritual nothingness, and he has to create a new life in us and a new heart in us. And throughout the life, as we're going through this life, every time if that scripture that Brother Rob just read, those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and the love, that's a present participle. It means they are constantly crucifying the flesh. It means there's a constant warfare going on between the flesh and the spirit. And there's no way your spirit is going to overcome your flesh except by the Spirit of God, except the Spirit Christ speak and bring you up out of that grave constantly and keep turning you to him and turning you to him and turning you to him. Marvel not, the hour's coming in which they that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Yes, that's going to happen in the resurrection when he comes and speaks and everybody's coming out of the grave. But it has to happen in his first resurrection first. We've got to hear his voice. That's the only way we're going to know him and his power and his ability. And that's the only way as we go through our life we're not going to faint when all hope looks lost. Abraham, he hoped against hope. When it looked like there was no possible way there was anything to hope for, he still hoped. Why? He knew the power of the Lord. He knew the power that spoke to him in the Ur of Chaldee and said, get out of this land. And he went out of the land. He knew that power. He knew that power. A sinner won't give the glory to God and will not stop giving himself glory till he's experienced this power of Christ's voice. And we won't stop using our wisdom and our means and our methods until we've experienced the power of Christ's voice. Remember, Paul said, as we received mercy, we faint not. The same way we receive mercy, that's how we don't faint. Why did you receive mercy? The power of Christ's voice. His voice spoke. That's how. And the only reason we don't faint now is Christ speaking and sustaining us by his voice. He upholds all things by what? The word of his power. That's what would make us renounce the dishonest ways of our means and our methods and our ways and trust, thus saith the Lord, the gospel of peace. What turned you in the first? What was the message you heard that he spoke to your heart and gave you peace with God? That's the message. Everything else is crooked. And Christ says, and I have to speak. You remember Gideon and his army when the Lord sent them in to do battle against the enemy. They were to shout, and they had a light that they were going to use to shine. And it kind of sounds like it because they were surrounded, and when these candles started flickering, it showed this big light, and it basically cast big shadows, and it scared the enemy, terrified the enemy. But here's what they had to do. They had to shout, and that light was in an earthen vessel. And they had to shatter that earthen vessel for the light to shine. And there you have the means the Lord's going to use. He's going to use the gospel, the shout of the gospel going forth. Christ is the light that's going to shine. He's the light that's going to shine. And how's that light going to shine? It's going to shine through an earthen vessel. But the only way that light's going to be seen is that vessel is going to be broken. That vessel's going to be broken. That vessel is you and me. That vessel's his preacher. That vessel's his witness he's going to use to speak the word to somebody. That vessel's going to have to be shattered and broken and have no power whatsoever to accomplish anything. And don't we feel like sometimes we're being so wise in the way we're saying something, and we say this and that, and, well, I really that was a smart thing for me to do. We got to be broken. You know when the Lord uses our word most? When we don't even realize it, that what we've said is the right thing to say. When we think we've done right and said right, that's too much pride. He's going to make it to where you know he did the speaking and you're just a broken earthen vessel. He's going to get the glory. That's the way we know the excellency of the powers of God. It's not of us. It's his voice. Now, when he speaks, brethren, there's life. When he speaks, there's life because there's faith there. In verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, he hath everlasting life. He hath it. That means it's done. He got it. And he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Why did he say, he that believeth on him that sent me? Because he's declaring he's God. He and the Father are one. The Father speaks and Christ is speaking. When Christ is speaking, it's the Father speaking. When Christ went to the cross, it was the Father going to the cross in Christ. They're one. They're one. Go over to Isaiah 40. Let me show you. That's what he's saying. Isaiah 40. The voice said, cry. He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof. Everything that we think is a pretty bloom that we've created is just like the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. He's going to make it wither by his Spirit. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Isn't that what Christ is talking about? His word? Look, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah. He's saying, say to my people. Here's the message. Behold your God. That's what Christ is saying to them. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come. That's Christ that we're seeing there. That's what he's declaring to us in our text. He will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward's with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that were with young. That's what Christ is saying. Go back to John 5 and look here in verse 17 at the end. He said, my Father works hitherto, and I work. You see, the Lord God will come. The Lord God will come. My Father works hitherto, and I work. Verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Father quickens whom he will, and the Son quickens whom he will. He's saying, when he quickens, I quicken. When I quicken, he quicken. Verse 23, that all should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. He that believes on the Son believes on the Father that sent him. He said, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, we're going to hear his word and believe on Christ, and doing so we believe on the Father that sent him. because he said, I and my Father are one. And look what he says now. And he that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That word is, he shall not come into the judgment. The judgment's settled. He's passed from death to life. Why? Because all things are of God. And I'm saying it like this because he's saying, I'm one with the Father. I'm God in human flesh. And they won't come into condemnation because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, all things are of God. All things in our salvation and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling his elect to himself, not imputing our trespasses. For he had made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood, he made him sin for us. When we believe on Christ, when we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, we're believing on the Father who chose Christ and chose his people in Christ. When we believe on Christ, we're believing on the Father who sent him and who was in him and who went to the cross and gave his life and shed his blood to reconcile his people to himself. It's the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. God was in Christ. And believing on the Son, we're believing on the Father who sent him. And when you believe him, you have everlasting life. You shall not come into condemnation. Those he brings to believe on him, that judgment was settled. And he keeps you believing on him. He keeps you resting in him. He keeps you walking in the Spirit. When the whole world thinks you're not, he keeps you there. He sure does. And he won't let you turn from him. When the devil's trying every way he can to turn you, he won't let it happen. Why not? Because it's called substitution. I had a fellow contact me. I don't know him. I don't know this church he's in. But he contacted me and had something he was asking me. And anyway, I was talking to Brother Gabe, and I said, Brother Gabe said, you remember this illustration Brother Henry used to give? He said, I believe the man he was talking about is in that congregation. So Thursday night, I talked to this man again, and I asked him, I said, is there a man in your congregation by the name of Horn? He said, yes, he is. He said he's in his close to his 80s now. I said, well, Brother Henry used to give this illustration, and I said it was a man from down South Louisiana. And I said, I thought he might be in this congregation. He said, yep, he is. He said, the illustration is about his father. But let me tell you this illustration. This is such a beautiful example of substitution. This man's father grew up in Germany. And he was a Jew. I believe his name was Goldberg, I believe was his name. But anyway, he was running away. He left talked to his mom and dad, his family, and his brothers and sisters, and said, I'm leaving. And so he took off. And the Nazis were after him. And I mean, they were hunting him. They wanted to kill him. And he came to a house. This is a true story. This happened. He came to a house. And there was a mother and a father there, and they just finished burying their son, about the same age as this man. They just buried him in the backyard. And this man told them his story, what he was doing, said, the Nazis are after me. And they said, come into the house. They brought him in their house. And they took their son's clothes. They took his clothes off of him. And they put their son's clothes on him. They took this man's papers from him, and they gave this man their son's papers. And they said, from this day forward, you're in that grave dead in the backyard. And your name's Horn. We're giving you the name of our son. And here's the papers to prove it. And so from that day forward, that man became Horn. And he came to America and he grew up there. And the Lord saved his son who's in that congregation. Isn't that a beautiful picture of substitution? Here's why he won't come into life. He died in Christ. And God's given him his clothing and his name. And he's not that old man anymore. He's altogether new in Christ. Before God, he's righteous and perfect. He's righteous and perfect. He'll try to be perfect in his life. He'll try to live a life that he claims to believe, but he won't do it. You don't do it. So easy to look at others and start, because that's the devil's gospel. He wants you to do that, because then you can't see yourself. That's what's so bad about our sin, brethren, is it makes others look at us rather than look at themselves. But he's going to keep his child looking at himself and realizing, you're that dead man buried in that grave. And you're now right there at God's right hand, seated with him. What crucifies the flesh? What really crucifies your flesh? When somebody comes and is hard with you and they shut you up, oh no, you're like the little boy that said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That don't crucify your flesh. That inflames your flesh. Flames theirs and it flames yours. What crucifies your flesh? Paul said, if you're risen with Christ, set your affection on the right hand of God. That's where you are. There's where your life is. That's you, believer. And that brother that you're condemning, he's passed from this death to life. And there he is too. There he is too. That's what makes us crucify our flesh. That's what makes us stop doubtful disputing and know I've passed from death to life. That's the only way we'll treat our dead body like it's dead. You reckon that man that got that new name, you reckon he kept going back to that grave and trying to pull up that body? Or you reckon he started trying to throw that name off and say, I don't want that name anymore? No, he said, this is my name. This is my name. When those authorities came and they said, who are you? My name's Horn. That's who I am. My name's Horn. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, Christ said, and him that cometh to me. Now get this. I will in no wise cast him out. He knew what you were when he found you. He knows what you are now in your flesh. He knows everything that's ever come from our sin nature. And it's all the same thing. Only one thing's ever come from our sin nature. Mephibosheth. Shame. That's all. And he keeps coming to you and he says, Mephibosheth! Shame! Here I am, Lord. Have mercy on me. He says, fear not. Fear not. You pass from death to life. That's the power. That's the voice. That's the power. That's the life-giving voice. That's the life-strengthening voice. That's what renews the new man. That's what makes you put off the old man. That's it. And he said, this is it. He that believeth on the Son, he has the witness in himself. You can't call the Lord, you can't call him Lord unless the Spirit of God gives you a heart to do it. In faith, true faith, brokenness, contrition, we can't call him Lord unless the Spirit of God gives us a heart to do it. But if you can, it's because you got the voice in you. You got the word in you. You got the witness in you. Christ has spoken. He's in you. And he says, and this is the record. This is the witness right here. This is what he teaches you when you have the witness. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's in his Son. It's not in what you do. It's not in what you don't do. It's not in what your brother does, what your brother don't do. It's not in your church membership. It's not in your attendance at the altar. It's not in anything. It's in his Son. It's in his Son. We don't bring him anything in the beginning. We can't bring him anything along the way. It's in his Son. I'm convinced, brethren, and he says, and he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. You know, we ask all these different questions, and you know what the Lord asks? You believe that he's the Son of God? That's what he said in our text. You believe I'm the Son of God. You believe I am God in the flesh, that I'm the life. You've passed from death to life. You have eternal life. Oh, it can't be that simple. You got to add something to it now. That's going to make people just, they go think all kind of things. No, not when the voice speaks. Not when the voice speaks. He that hath the Son hath life. He hath life. Lord, we pray you'd bless this to us. We pray you would make us to be resolved to Christ and him alone. Speak the word and make us know what we are. Make us look to you and you alone. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this message. Pray, Lord, you really speak the word. Keep your people. Be with your people. Whatever believer who's down and cast down and built up that middle wall of partition, the enmity, and separated because of law, using earthly things to exalt one over the other, Lord, keep breaking down that wall. You've put it down and keep putting it down in our heart. Keep us believing you alone and trust you and follow you and walk after you by your Spirit. Lord, help us to see how poor our judgment is. Help us to see Christ, him alone. Help us to speak your word to our fellow dry bones and pray for your Spirit to bless it. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.